In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is a Patriots Monday. We are at Gillette Stadium. Gerard Mayo will be with us next hour at about 9:15, and we'll get to Boomer Esiason in a minute or two. News with Courtney coming up at 8:20. And if you are planning on preparing a viral TikTok sensation on Thursday for Turkey Day, doctors are warning you that you should probably pump the brakes or you might die. Mm-hmm. Am I correct about that?
That is correct,
all right,
yes.
All right. So we'll get to that and the news coming up in just a little bit. Boomer is brought to you this week by McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery and expert HVAC services at McFarlandEnergy.com. By Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. By Town Fair Tire, for the best prices on tires, nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. And Boomer is brought to you by your New England Kubota tractor dealers. Hey, Boomer.
Hey, good morning. Happy Thanksgiving week. You know, here we are. It's Thanksgiving week, and none of our football teams in our local markets actually can do anything after this except jockey for first overall draft pick.
Yeah, well, ours unfortunately looks sloppy. Sloppy all over the place yesterday.
You know what? You actually caught the Miami Dolphins at the wrong time. That was their team. That's who they are. That's what their offense looks like when it is humming on all cylinders. And they've been building to this the last 3 to 4 weeks since Tua Tagovailoa came back. And, man, it's so much fun to watch. I know being on the losing side of it is not much fun. But for me, watching Tua play that way, watching Mike McDaniel call those plays, watching the speed that Miami has, it's pretty impressive.
It is. We've talked to you about it. We've talked a lot about it on the show. The defense, this New England Patriots defense, is putrid. Should that not be Gerard Mayo's forte if he's going to be able to accomplish anything this first season?
Well, you'd like to think so, yes. And early on, I thought they were okay. I thought they kept them in games. You remember we were talking about how Jacoby Brissett was going to hand the ball off. They were going to run the ball with Ramondre Stevenson, and they were going to play defense. And they're going to play good, solid special teams. It was a pretty simple recipe. You know, when you get this deep into the season, you've played 12 games. Your offense is up and down. It's scattershot all over the place. The defense has got an enormous amount of pressure on it. And I'm just telling you guys, that offense yesterday that we saw, that's the Lions offense, that's the 49er offense with Brock Purdy, that's the Green Bay Packer offense, and the Miami offense is faster than all of those teams. So when they are rolling like they are, that defense is going to look really bad. I don't know what else to tell you. Watching this game yesterday, you could see the difference in speed, and that's really what the NFL is built on.
Boomer, one of the things that really sticks out to me when I'm watching this football team is they're so undisciplined when it comes to penalties. Is this, you know, some of those penalties like the holdings, you can kind of, you know, those are on the players, but how much do you put on the coaches when it comes to the discipline and continuous making penalties week after week?
I don't know if you feel this way, Wiggs. All I know is if we ever lost a game the way that the Patriots did yesterday, and I think they committed either 10 or 11 penalties, and you came to work the next day, your position coach was all over you, and he was just grinding you down because of the penalties, and especially when they're false start penalties. Holding penalties, sometimes I can totally understand, especially as a quarterback. I don't want anybody running free at me, and so I always tell the guys, if you got to hold, just do whatever you got to do to keep them out of the backfield. But, I mean, it's stupid penalties that drive you crazy, penalties that should not be made. But sometimes, you know, these officials too, depending, I don't know which crew they had yesterday, but I think some of these crews are just impossible to deal with, and it's impossible to watch the game. The game is just not a good game sometimes when the officials get way too involved.
Boomer, after the game, Gerard Mayo was asked about the penalties and said that there was nothing he could do for them once they crossed the white line. A lot of people upset about that. What do you think about that response?
Yeah, well, Bill Belichick wouldn't say that, right? And I guess we're comparing everything to him these days because he's not coaching, and we forget what the team looked like the last 3 years. But I would say that, yeah, it is on the players. It's always on the players. They can coach as hard as they can, but there's got to be accountability too. So it's going to be up for Coach Mayo to stand in front of that team today, hold those guys accountable. That's the only way I know how to handle something like this when there's a rash of penalties like this. So, it's late in the season. This team is not going anywhere. I don't think it's a very good team. We've been talking about this all year long. They're right there with the Jets, the Giants, the Panthers. These are teams that are all bottom feeders right now. And the thing that they have to get right is they have to get the offseason free agency right, and they got to get the draft right. I don't think they're going to do anything with the coaching staff. I don't think they should. I think they got to get another year out of Drake May and see where he can take them, assuming that they can have a good draft and maybe go after somebody like a T. Higgins, a wide receiver, which would be a really nice addition for the Patriots.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't touch anybody coaching staff-wise.
I can't say. I don't know enough. I'd be lying if I sat here and told you I could go down the coaching staff and sit here and say, fire this guy, fire that guy.
I just mean coordinator-wise, you know, Alex Van Pelt or DeMarcus Covington.
All right, so Alex has had success in this league, and he's been around for a long time. And he's a little bit hamstrung, with a revolving offensive line, a rookie quarterback, wide receivers that, you know, maybe they keep a couple. They have to add to that position. I mean, let's face it, guys. I mean, like, you're not talking about, like, what you saw with the Miami Dolphins yesterday. You saw speed. You saw playmakers. And you saw a quarterback that was so in sync with his play caller that's what you're trying to get to. And the Patriots just don't have those types of players yet.
But you mentioned speed, Boomer, and a huge story locally, I'm sure it didn't get quite the run nationally, was that Alex Van Pelt had to be asked to play Marcus Jones on offense, who is their electric punt returner, defensive back, who has been in the offense the last couple years, and he admitted to not watching offensive film of the Patriots the last couple years in advance of taking this job, which to me, I don't know how you say that. I don't know how you do that. It's unfathomable to me that you have a team this bereft of talent on offense, and you have a guy that's sitting there, not like he's going to make him a playoff team, but the coordinator doesn't even watch the film of the team he's taking over.
Yeah, somewhere you get five or six plays, maybe seven plays out of a guy like that. You know, I didn't hear that he said that. I mean, that is a little bit of an indictment on himself, to be honest. I mean, if you don't know your personnel coming in and you don't know what's available to you, you know, that's on you. There's no question about that.
Well, I think it's an indictment also of Gerard Mayo. If the player has to text the offensive coordinator, which is what happened, to say, hey, I can also play on the other side of the football. I mean, it's an indictment of the whole thing if that hasn't come up at all.
Yeah, I would agree with you. It's a hard thing to really swallow when you hear the coach admit to something like that. I mean, I don't even know why he would say that.
I mean, yeah, I don't either.
I don't know. I think I would come up with something completely different. Like, you know, I know he's available. I just haven't found a place to use him yet. We're going to get him involved. Something like that.
He should have used new phone who dis.
Right.
Maybe.
Or waiting for a playoff game. You know.
Or how about we're on to Cincinnati and not saying anything.
Yeah, right.
Jesus.
Down in your neck of the woods, Diana Rossini had a report this weekend that Aaron Rodgers will soon be benched, placed on IR, or maybe even cut. Is the latter a possibility?
I guess if he would want to be cut. Now, I also said last week, early in the week, that he's playing with a bad hamstring. His front leg, he doesn't even throw off of it, and I don't think he can. And I think it's real. It's obvious to me that there's a major issue there. And then, of course, the reports come out yesterday from all the NFL insiders that he's not getting scans on his leg because he doesn't want answers because he knows that he's got a really bad problem. So I guess all of those things could be on the table right now. It will be an interesting week around here for sure because, you know, they're coming off of their bye. So Aaron's not been here. He was at his 20-year reunion, I think, out of Cal. So this is going to be a really interesting McAfee a week because there's been a lot of things written and said down here about Aaron in regards to whether or not the owner wanted him benched after the Bronco game, which I think was game 4 or game 5. And I think they knew that he was hurt. That's the only reason why the owner would have said that. And then on the other side of town is the New York Giants. And they released Daniel Jones, who after he clears waivers today at 4 o'clock, I guarantee you he will sign with one of these teams that is in the playoff hunt as a backup quarterback.
Will he be a starter again in this league, do you think?
I do. You know, and the reason I say that is because Sam Darnold, you know, is a starter. Baker Mayfield is a starter. I mean, it all depends.
Mac Jones
is a starter. I mean, like, you just never know, man. Yeah. He's just got to get to the right place. You know, I actually like Daniel Jones. He's highly inaccurate, and a lot of injuries early on in his career, I think, really did affect his growth. And then the fact that he's had, like, 4 coaches in 5 years with 5 different offensive coordinators, that didn't help any. And quite frankly, I think he's a good player. I don't think he's a great player. But if he gets to the right place, somehow, like a Sam Darnold type of situation could really happen for him. And I would suggest that somewhere along the line, he'll be a stopgap starter. He's not going to be a long-term answer for anybody.
Malik Nabers calling his team soft and then moving on to whining about when he gets the football. Do you like that? From a rookie
wide receiver complaining from LSU.
Yeah.
I mean, like, what else is new? I mean, it's like it seems like it happens every year. One of these guys go off, and I understand he's frustrated. You know, it was interesting in that offseason Hard Knocks, Brian Daboll, when they were interviewing Malik, he said, "Do you like how do you feel about losing?" He goes, "I hate losing," and he's telling everybody that he hates losing. So yeah. Brian is getting the answer that he got in real time now, and it's not pretty here. It's ugly, and when you have a kind of a penchant rookie doing what he's doing, and Wiggy could tell you this, you know, nobody likes that.
Boomer, what's up with the Commanders? To be 7-2 and now 7-5 seems like a bit of a fall from grace.
Defense, and I also think Jaden Daniels is, I kind of hit the wall a little bit, but their defense is really kind of falling apart here, and that's supposed to be Dan Quinn's deal, just like Gerard Mayo. That's supposed to be his deal. Their defense has given up way too many big plays. Watching this game yesterday, like, you know, going flipping back and forth and trying to keep up with what the hell was happening in it was almost impossible because there were so many wild things that happened in this game. But, you know, there were like 3 teams that got tripped up within their division yesterday. Obviously, the Commanders were one of them. The Texans were one. And then Arizona went out to Seattle. Seattle beats them. And Seattle's now in first place in the NFC West. I do not want to see Seattle in the playoffs. It's not a pretty team. You know what I mean? It's just like,
it's not
there's
sexy.
Nothing juicy about them. You know what I mean? Like, I want the 49ers to be back in there, but I don't, they keep pushing these guys like out there that, you know, can't play. They can't replace the guys that they have when they are hurt because they have superstars and it's really killing their season.
Boomer, you brought up the Aaron Rodgers situation. I think the one thing that will be interesting is he said he kind of wants to play next year. If you had to gamble, do you think it's with another team? And is there another team out there that would want Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, I think there's always going to be a team that would take Aaron Rodgers. I definitely think that. It depends on who the coach is because
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
As we have seen down here now, especially this year, not so much last year. I mean, last year, you know, he got hurt and it unfortunately, you know, went south on him. But this year, I think he's hurt again. And I think he's trying to play through the injury because of what happened last year and the pressure that has been around him in the offense and the fact that, you know, it's perceived that he's running the team because he's brought a lot of his buddies here to play with him. I know that he doesn't want to go out this way, that's for sure. Now, the question is, will Woody Johnson keep him here? My feeling right now at this moment is no, he will not be here next year. There'll be a new GM and, of course, a new head coach. And I'm not so sure that they would want to inherit, you know, that all over again because it has really, I mean, he has really sucked the air out of the building. And I don't mean that in a real negative way. I just mean it in a way that he is such a big personality and everybody has deferred to him since he got here 2 years ago that people like stand around thinking that he's Superman and he's going to make all these plays by himself. And that has not been the case.
Question of the week for Boomer Esiason is presented by McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery and expert HVAC services at McFarlandEnergy.com. Because of Wiggy and the fact that he continues to be a big ham guy, Boomer, question of the week is turkey or ham on Thursday?
100% turkey and stuffing, man.
Thank you.
I mean, there is ham there, I don't eat much of it.
Oh, thank you. Case closed.
Boomer's as basic as they come. Ham with a little bit of pineapple juice sauce running all over it, Boomer.
You know, well, yeah, I would think that you being up there by Plymouth Rock and crap like that, you'd be eating turkey. You know
right,
that.
Yeah, what wrong with right.
You? Yeah, I can keep you turkey.
But he's not a big fan of history. Boomer, we've been wondering since last week why Robert Kraft continues to fail the vote to get into Canton and join the Football Hall of Fame. It's 0-13 now. Any theories you have? I mean, it seems just confounding.
You know, it is confounding to me, too, because from where I sit, Mr. Kraft has had an incredible impact on the game itself. Don't worry about stuff off the field with his anti-Semitism fund and all the other great things that he does that nobody even sees. You know, what he has been a part of and the growth of the NFL since he took over the Patriots has been nothing short of miraculous. So I'm one of those guys who does believe that he belongs in. There's no question about it. It's really disappointing. I hope that he gets in before too long. I want him to be able to enjoy it. He deserves it. And hopefully next year, you know, they'll call his name. But, yeah, it is I don't have an answer for it. I don't know why. I mean, if I just take a look at everything that he's accomplished since he bought the Patriots of what they've done there with their Super Bowls and how the game has grown, how the league has grown, stadiums have grown. I mean, a lot of that is due in large part to his success.
Boomer, have a great Thanksgiving, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All righty, guys. Take care. See ya.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by the 99. I'm happy for Boomer because it's probably the first Thanksgiving he will be able to celebrate with his families for quite some time.
That's right.
Yeah.
Always working.
Always. The Pats fall in Miami 34-15, the final against the Dolphins with Drake May completing 22 of 31 passes for 222 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. The offense had just 44 total yards in the first half. Now penalties hurt the guys once again. They had 10 in the loss. We'll talk to Jerod Mayo in the 9 o'clock hour about that coming up. In college football, BC is going bowling. They got their sixth win on Saturday, beating UNC 41-21. The Celtics beat the Timberwolves at the TD Garden last night, 107-105, the final. Jaylen Brown started the game with five straight threes, ending the game with a game-high 29 points. And it's back-to-back game nights for the Seas. They're hosting the Clippers tonight at the TD Garden. Tip is at 7:30. The Bruins got their second win under Joe Sacco on Saturday, beating the Red Wings 2-1. And the crazy news over the weekend, just 5 days after Jim Montgomery was fired, he has a new home. Monty signed a five-year deal to be the St. Louis Blues head coach. That five-day period is the shortest in-season span between a head coach being fired and hired by another team in NHL history. And cozy up to irresistible new fall flavors at the 99 restaurant, like the freshly baked homestyle chicken pot pie, packed with chicken and topped with a buttery, flaky crust, or the creamy short rib mac and cheese. You gotta love the nines. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. Chilly out there. Feels like 30. Afternoon high. Sunny. 50 degrees.
All right, we'll get to Courtney and today's news next. And I hope you're not going to TikTok when it comes to recommendations on what you should prepare for the family on Thursday. But if you are, a warning on one particular viral sensation from doctors when we come back.